Čitanje knjige proroka Zaharije. Ovo govori Gospodin.
A reading from the prophet Zechariah. It is the Lord who speaks. Over the house of David and the citizens of Jerusalem, I will pour out the spirit of kindness and prayer. They will look on the one whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as for an only son, and weep for him as people weep for a firstborn child. When that day comes, there will be great mourning in Judea, like the mourning of Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. When the day comes, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and the citizens of Jerusalem for sin and impurity. The word of the Lord. For you my soul is thirsting, O God, my God. O God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsting, my body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory, for your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy. For you my soul is thirsting, O God, my God. For you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings I rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. You are all of you sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, all baptized in Christ. You have all clothed yourselves in Christ, and there are no more distinctions between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, but all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Merely by belonging to Christ you are the posterity of Abraham, the heirs he was promised. The word of the Lord.
ovce moje slušaju glas moj, govori Gospodin, ja ih poznajem i one idu za mnom.
Dominus vobiscum.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, when Jesus was praying alone in the presence of his disciples, he put this question to them. What do the crowd say I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others say one of the ancient prophets come back to life. But you, he said, who do you say I am? It was Peter who spoke up. The Christ of God, he said. But he gave them the strict orders not to tell anyone anything about this. The Son of Man, he said, is destined to suffer grievously, to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and to be put to death, and to be raised up on the third day. Then to all he said, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. For anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake, that man will save it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Through the words of the Gospel, may our sins be wiped away. Brothers and sisters, none of us is entirely indifferent to what other people think about us. It is always flattering to us when we hear others speaking about us in a nice way. And it hurts us when it happens the other way. And the question whether they are right, those who have a good impression of us or those who have bad impression of us, who is right? How we like to please people. But in all that, it doesn't come to us that we should try to impose onto them our own opinion about it and then convince them to follow us. Jesus was different entirely, as we have heard in Gospel. He is not into popularity. All that interests him is the truth. His question that came suddenly, what do crowds say and think about him and their answer, and then his direct question to them, a recognizable group of his disciples, what do they think? And Peter's answer in the form of recognition of Jesus's messiahic dimension, and finally his decisive calling to inherit him, present truly the turning point in Jesus's life and his mission. The oldest evangelist, Mark, emphasized that additionally, placing this text in the very center of his gospel, so that it may serve as some kind of a joint connecting the first eight chapters of his gospel and other eight that follow afterwards, helping in this way to all of us to understand that gospel better. Indeed, gospel according to Mark, we should start reading exactly from its center, from the text we have just heard. In the first part, Mark presents Jesus with his miracles, numerous miracles. There is a small group of disciples following Jesus. Then one part of people who look with favor on him, but Pharisees and Herodians, those who have a power, have already decided long before that they have to get rid of Jesus, they have to kill him. And his success among people is weak, and he understands that he has to suffer a great deal before he will live the glory of resurrection. After this conversation with disciples, in the second part of Gospel according to Mark, Jesus speaks openly about his destiny awaiting for him in Jerusalem, preparing disciples for that, inviting them to follow him in carrying the cross. What does do crowds say about it? Asking that question, Jesus wants to draw a line of his public mission, and he wanted to see what do people understand, how they understand, and what they think. Comparing him to John the Baptist, who was beheaded not long before that by Herod, to those who consider that he is a prophet of Old Testament, Elijah, that is to come again, or some other prophet, Jesus wants to hear what disciples think about him. Why? Because he chose them and called them to follow him from near. And he spoke to people in parables. To disciples, he interpreted all to them, initiating them into the mystery of the kingdom of God. Therefore, he expects rightfully from them more than from crowds. Peter's answer on behalf of all of these disciples is brief and clear. You are Christ, the anointed one of God. And that means that disciples, based on what they experienced in Jesus' nearness, in his presence, and based on his answer to John the Baptist, they were convinced that he truly is the anointed one, as prophet Isaiah prophesied. And Jesus, when he encountered John the Baptist, applied the words of Saint Isaiah on him. So people think different in different way Jesus, but nobody sees in him the great sufferer. Although Isaiah speaks of the servant of Yahweh that will suffer with patience for the sake of others, nevertheless Jews never thought of Messiah as a suffering one, but always dreamed only about a glorious, victorious Messiah. So Jesus is telling them the Son of Man will suffer a great deal for the scribes and Pharisees to reject him and to be put to death and to raise up on the third day. Why does Jesus forbid disciples to speak about what happened to people? But after his resurrection, Isaiah's word about the servant of Yahweh will play the key role in interpretation of Jesus' death and resurrection.
zabrane da o njemu govore kao pomazaniku Mesiju.
It was for he forbade his disciple to speak of him as the anointed Messiah. He initiates them in his passion and invites them to follow him. If anybody wants to follow me, must renounce himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. And his demand, he explains, reminding us that man runs a danger, giving in to insignificant things of the world in life runs the danger of losing life. And Jesus says, for anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake, that man will save it. That Jesus is warning, admonition. People live in a selfish way today without seeing others, only wanting to please oneself. But if you live your life in an unselfish way, thinking of others and sacrificing yourself for others, that one will have life in fullness and will be happy. Saint John Vianney, the cour of Ars, the parish priest of Ars, who inherited Jesus in carrying the cross, seriously understood and in life applied it in a concrete way. He says, cross is the greatest book that we can read. Who does not know that book? Our ignorance, although they might have read all the books of the world. Wise men are those who look for advice in the book of the cross and explore it. And the longer you stay in that school, the greater is your desire to stay in it. These words, brothers and sisters, in the life of that priest stand a great deal. He came from a poor family, had difficulty with studies, and was ordained in the last moment. He was given a little parish high in the mountains where he had to face many difficulties, but accepting all the crosses, he became spiritual renewer of that parish and a spiritual greatness that the church soon recognized, canonizing him and patron saint of all parish priests. Jesus is calling to inherit him, patiently carrying our crosses, perhaps was never more actual as it is today, when doubtful ideals are offered to young people, inviting them to follow them. Those who are looking for a life full of things of the world end up being addicted, touching the bottom. But always there have been examples of generous acceptance of Jesus' calling and examples of life that we are to follow. One of them certainly is German theologian von Goethe, who, because of his faith in Christ during the Second World War, ended up in concentration camp where certain death awaited for him. He could readily walk toward death because he knew that the price of inheriting Jesus is always great, and he was ready to pay that price. And he speaks about the cheap and expensive grace. Cheap grace is the sermon on forgiveness, which is not followed by penance, baptism without self-discipline, Eucharist without acknowledging one's sinfulness, without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without inheriting Jesus, is grace without inheriting cross, is without God, man, Christ. And expensive grace is the treasure hidden in the field, for which you will sell all that you have in order to have it. It is a precious pearl that you will sacrifice all for it. It is the kingdom of Christ for which you will dig out your eye if it's scandalizing you. That is kind of calling of Jesus to which his disciple, true disciple, will leave fishing nets behind and follow him. Only expensive grace in life is worthwhile. Only expensive grace will set us free. Only expensive grace will transform us into true disciple of Christ. Therefore, let us not fear from the cross and carrying the cross that Jesus is calling us to. May the cross, through the words of St. John Vianney, be our book too, that we shall gladly read every day, drawing from it true wisdom of life, and always find strength we need to carry our daily crosses for greater blessing of ourselves and others. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and he rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Život budućega vijeka. Amen.
Gathered around the table of our Lord, let us direct our prayers to our Heavenly Father, praying together. For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, our bishops, Hoser and Parrish, all bishops, presbyters, and deacons, may they with their life bear witness for truth revealed by Jesus, your Son, we pray to the Lord. For the Church dispersed throughout the world, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, never to give up, be facing difficulties and afflictions, we pray to the Lord. For all people of the world, grant them your wisdom so that they may reject evil and do good, we pray to the Lord. For the young, to recognize the signs of your calling and follow the example that Christ left to us, we pray to the Lord. For this family of yours, to live in communion based on unselfishness and love, we pray to the Lord. For all our beloved departed ones, bring them to heaven in communion of your saints, we pray to the Lord. Lord God, you sent your Son into this world so that full of the Spirit and truth, he reveals to us the mystery of your will. Receive our prayers that we direct to you from this Eucharistic encounter. Hear them through the intercession of the glorified Christ, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen.